Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Today's show started a little bit late. Sorry about that. I am still on the road traveling. It was my turn to drive, and we are almost to our destination. Right now we're in Pennsylvania, heading to Western New York, where I stay through the spring, summer, and beginning part of autumn. Got to put my organic garden in, have my bonfires in the backyard, and do some meditation back there. So heading there, and I do have plants with me that I'm traveling with that are going to go into my garden that I was growing while I was down in Florida. Welcome to Meeting Ike series. My name is Marina Leros Naples, and I am your host here on Meeting Ike series twice a week on Tuesday and Thursday at noon Eastern time for a quick 15-minute lunch break show, and alternate weeks on Wednesday evening I have a special guest on the show, and that's a 30-minute show. So once I get home, I am going to be able to add in who my next guest is, so, and create that show. So look for that. Follow the show. And you can also follow Meeting Ike series on Facebook under the same name. Look for us on my website, and that is meeting-ike-series.weebly.com. So follow along, click to follow, and stay tuned and keep up to date with all that's going on of everything holistic, metaphysical, and spiritual with Meeting Ike series. Today's show, I'm going to share a little bit more about you. I did that this past Tuesday about some of my experiences in the past. And so here is one that when my mother, Carol Ann Learos, was holding her psychic fairs back in the mid-1970s. I was about 14 years old. She did this for 2 or 3 years, and they were held over at the Niagara Falls Convention Center in Niagara Falls, New York. And this one particular time, I was there, my sister was there. We were both working in what is called, what she had called Reader's Row. And Reader's Row was a section that was a long length of a section that was partitioned off, and people will come in with their tickets to be able to pick out a psychic or card reader or medium to have their readings done. So when they did that, the people would come in, and there would be a long line of readers on the left and then a space and then readers on the right, table, 2 chairs, and a cloth over it. Very nice, very nicely done. And so this one man came in. And he was, I wasn't there for this part, but my mother came in, and he was a bit on the cocky side and also very upset. And he was saying how you have all these psychics here. Well, have one of them find my van. It just got stolen. And so she brought him over to me. I was 14 years old at the time. And brought him over to me and told me this man's van just got stolen. Find his van. And so he came over to my table, sat down, and I said, you know, I can better show. I was trying to describe to him what I was seeing, the parking lot and what was going on. And so I said, we can better probably see this while we're outside if we can go walk over and go out there. Now, again, this isn't during the 1970s, so a lot less was going on as far as worrying about kids disappearing and things like that. And, you know, so then I also, you know, knew how to use white light for protection and would do that. So we were standing at the doorway, and we were just stepped outside. And then the policeman actually came back, and he said, I never come back to the scene, but for some reason I came back here, and I don't know why. So we were talking with him, and the three of us walked over to the area where he had parked his van, where it had been stolen from. And so I turned to the policeman and said, you know, this is what I'm seeing down these streets, and this is what it looks like on both sides. And, you know, can we drive down the streets? And I can direct you and tell you what I'm seeing. And if you know the area, then you'll be able to see, you'll be able to drive down the streets and go to those areas that I'm seeing. And he was willing to do that. So there it was, the policeman, this man, and myself. We were in the police car driving up and down the streets at Niagara Falls near the convention center. And I would tell him, okay, I see a building. It looks like this. It has this color. And then I see signs that look like this and this type of writing. Oh, you need to turn right here. Oh, go up here and then turn left. Go up two blocks and make a right. Different things like that. And so there we were in the vehicle. And here it is. These two men are listening to this 14-year-old girl telling them where she sees this van going. And interestingly enough, this was happening all in the same neighborhood. It wasn't like they had tried taking off and going anywhere. They were going up and down these streets, and I don't know if they had a destination in mind or they were trying to go somewhere to strip it apart or inside of a garage or so. I have no idea. But they were going up and down these streets in the Niagara Falls area. And finally I said, oh, quick, go up here, turn left and go up. I was just a couple of blocks and make a quick right or something like that. And there'll be a parking lot and, I told him to hurry. He were driving and there sat this man's van with the driver's side door open and the keys still in it, and the van was running. So these people were trying to get away, and they just didn't make it, but they took off on foot. The man who owned the van was very shaken. The policeman was just very stunned, and Niagara Falls Convention Center. As we're driving, my husband's in the background coughing. Sorry about that. But so we get all back over to the convention center, and we come back inside. Now, my stepfather is hysterical because his 14-year-old stepdaughter has disappeared, and my mother was not upset. She said that she tuned in to check in on me, and I was fine. I was protected, and she had no worries. But he was not convinced. He was, she's gone. She disappeared. Where could she have gone? How could you have, had her, this guy come over? You don't know who he is, which is understandable in today's world. But knowing the way that we were raised and how psychic my mother is, tuned in and realized I am safe and in good hands, and there was absolutely nothing to be worried about. And of course, I'm sure as a mother, she would have put white light of protection around me as well, which I had already done. So the man came in and gave me, I forgot, it was $50 or something as a reward for finding his van. And he was so shooken up, but he came in as a non-believer. And he left as a believer. And that policeman was absolutely blown away by the whole thing. And he had repeated a few times, I don't know what made me come back to the scene. I never do that, like I said before, but I felt compelled to come back. And he just couldn't believe that he was driving around a 14-year-old teenager who psychically found the stolen van. So we get back inside, and what does my mother say? Okay, get back to work. Go back to Reader's Row. And so, and I did. I go, okay, I found the van. She asked me to find the van. I found the van, and now I'm going back to do readings. And because of that, then the word spread all around very quickly, and I had a line of people waiting to get readings from me for the rest of that day. People, they wanted the reading from me. So that was one of my experiences as a teenager growing up, very unusual. But it was just par for the course, in our family. It's just something we did. So other experiences that we had is, as I've mentioned in other shows, is my the last one is at the home office. My mother had set up volunteers. People volunteered left and right, always wanted to work with and be around her and everything that was going on with her Project Blind Awareness and Project Junior Blind Awareness, teaching the blind people how to see, more or less, through their psychic abilities and be able to sense that and to do remote viewing to be before they would go over someplace so they would have a better feel for the layout of a room or rooms of whatever building, something that was unfamiliar to them. So we always had volunteers coming in and around the home, and not only but volunteers, but also scientists, and we had news reporters, and there were nuns because that through what was Rosary Hill College, which is now Damien College, and some studies that were being done, and just a whole bunch of different types of people that would come in all the time in our home. And there was a core group of people, lovely women, a couple of men, and then we would gather together about once a week, and I think it was during the midweek on a Wednesday, I think it was, and in the basement. And so we would do is there was an incredibly wonderful pizza place nearby. They had the best pizza anywhere. And anyone who knows about Western New York pizza, you know what I'm talking about. So they had the best pizza anywhere. When we would get this pizza, it was just loaded. And we would have one of us, after doing some meditation, and one of us would lie down and be put into a trance-like state. And during that trance state, then questions would be asked. And I remember one time that I had been put under in the trance-like state and been being asked questions. And it's interesting is that the deeper you go into this trance state is that it becomes more and more difficult to speak because it takes so much effort and energy to be able to use that to be able to speak. So that here you are, you think that you are speaking normally, and you are actually in a whisper. And so, you know, here it is, and watching other people when they were put into it, and you really have got your ear down over by their mouth to hear what they are saying, because, again, the effort that it takes when you are so deep like that is tremendous. And when you come out of that trance state, you are just very quiet, and you don't want to speak, you don't want to be bothered, and, you know, not in a rude way or anything, but you are so out of touch with the physical realm, the physical existence, that it takes a while to be able to integrate back into it. Quite the experience, really is. Now, but this I do want to mention is that we were very protected because we would do meditation, we would do white light. These were very strong individuals that were able to be a very good, strong support and protective guides, more or less, so when we were going into the trance states. So anybody who's interested in doing that, you really want to make sure that you have that strong core group and people who are aware of what's going on and how to do everything and how to protect and how to bring people into that trance state properly, protect it, and to bring them back out again and to be able to understand that. And so we would ask quite a lot of different questions about the world, about each other, about health, just a lot of different topics, and learned a lot. So these are a couple of my experiences while growing up that I'm sharing while we're on the road. Please tune in next Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. when I have a special guest on, and that's a 30-minute show. My name is Marina Leros Naples, and this is the Meeting Ike Series show, Lunch Break on Thursday. Thank you for joining me.